Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right, Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Made it PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Now here's Frank, Scott, and Chris.
We have trades, as in multiple. Frankie Montas to the Yankees and Trey Mancini to the Astros. What does it all mean? I don't know. Let's discuss. Welcome into another emergency edition of Fantasy Baseball Today. On Monday, August 1st, Frank Sample joined again by Scott White. And let's get into it. Frankie Montas and Lou Trevino were traded to the Yankees in exchange for four prospects, three starting pitchers in Ken Waldichuk, Luis Medina, and J.P. Sears, as well as a speedy second base prospect, Cooper Bowman. All four were ranked inside of the top 25 in the Yankees organization, according to MLB Pipeline. Seems like a pretty good return, not nearly as crazy as the Luis Castillo return. We'll get to the prospects in just a little bit, but let's just talk about Frankie Montas here first and foremost. Having a good season, Scott, 3.18 ERA, 1.14 WHIP, over a strikeout per inning, dealt with some shoulder inflammation in July, but did make two starts after the All-Star break. What do you think this does for Frankie Montas's value?
I think it goes up. I think it goes up quite a bit because, yeah, he's had a great season. Everything about his stat line looks good except for the 4-9 record. He goes from one of the worst teams in baseball to arguably the best, certainly the best in the AL. And you know, if he had been there from the beginning, he might be 9-4 instead of 4-9. And that would obviously make a big difference to how we perceive Frankie Montas in fantasy. Now, he is going from a pitcher's park in the most pitcher-friendly division, or at least the division with the most pitcher's parks, to a hitter's park in the division with the most hitter's parks. And some have expressed concern about that. He does have an ERA over 5 on the road this year, does Montas. But I think that's kind of a fluky thing. You look at his home-away splits last year, pretty much even in terms of ERA. And he's not a fly ball pitcher. He's not like an extreme ground ball pitcher, but he's leans more toward ground balls than fly balls. And generally speaking, it's the fly ball guys who are most susceptible to park factors. So I don't think that's so much to worry about with Montas. I think it's just purely stock up.
Yeah, someone tweeted at me that Frankie Montas in his career in Oakland, 3.23 ERA, 4.34 ERA everywhere else. So again, it is a negative park shift. There's no doubt about that. For what it's worth, according to StatCast, it's not that big of a park shift. Over the past three seasons, the Yankees ranked 23rd in park factors, while the Oakland A's rank 28th. So take that for what it's worth, but overall, more run support on a better team. I think those things will slightly help Frankie Montas. He's got to stay healthy as well. Lou Trevino comes with a lot of strikeouts. You know, Scott, look, I don't want to be greedy here because I'm happy Montas joins my team, the Yankees, but like at the price of also getting Lou Trevino, I'm not very excited about this. Look, the surface level numbers are very bad for Trevino. He does strike out a lot of people. You can drop him if you were rostering him for saves, obviously. But from the A side of things now, who do you think will be next up for save opportunities? There's AJ Puck and Zach Jackson now who are healthy, and Danny Jimenez started a rehab assignment this past Friday. So what do you think happens with the A's bullpen?
Yeah, I think at some point this week, Jimenez will be back and it'll be his role again. That's how I expected things to go, even with Trevino there. If you want to speculate on somebody else, it seemed like AJ Puck and Zach Jackson have both bailed out Trevino in the past. And I don't know that there's a clear front runner between those two. I think the guy to invest in is Danny Jimenez, if he's still out there in your league.
He is 34% rostered, so could be widely available. I get it. Oakland A's are not very good, but we need saves this time of year. 12-team, 15-team, roto categories leagues. I think Danny Jimenez is somebody to target there. The prospects that the A's received in this trade, it's a pretty good haul, Scott. I know Ken Waldachuk is someone that you have followed closely. You have him on your Scott White Dynasty League team, or at least you did. I think you might have traded him away.
I traded him, but I have him on at least one other Dynasty team.
So let's talk about this haul. Ken Waldachuk obviously is the headliner. He's a 24-year-old left-handed pitcher this season in the minors. 2.71 ERA, 1.14 whip, 116 strikeouts over 76 and a third innings. Luis Medina, 23 years old. He's a flamethrower, strong numbers at AA this season. JP Sears, a little bit older, 26 years old. We saw him a few starts with the Yankees this season, but he's been great in the minors. 1.67 ERA, 0.72 whip, over a strikeout per inning. Cooper Bowman, a little bit further away, high A. He was in high A, but low batting average, lots of steals there. Scott, do you think Waldachuk and or JP Sears can have value this season with the Oakland A's?
Yeah, I do. I suspect JP Sears will probably join the rotation right away in Montas's spot. And it's possible Waldachuk is right there too. They have Adam Oller taking a fifth turn right now for them. And, you know, he's not much to get excited about. Ken Waldachuk being 24 years old already, I was kind of surprised the Yankees hadn't already called him up. And he's the most exciting, I would say. He would be clearly a top 100 prospect for me. And actually, when I did my midseason top 30, I had him as one of 20 honorable mentions. So, you know, he'd at least be in the discussion for top 50 for me. And he's kind of a weird prospect in that, you know, if you're just assessing him on pure stuff, you know, the velocity is pretty good, mid-90s fastball. The slider has a lot of sweeping action, but I don't think the scouts like his stuff as much as the production would suggest. But he has a deceptive delivery, you know, kind of a weird arm angle, and that helps the stuff play up. And you know, you look at the splits between AA and AAA this year, and it's kind of taken a step back at AAA. The walks have gone up a little for Waldachuk, but I think just the way he's able to fool hitters with that delivery, he has the potential for a lot of strikeouts. So if we see him, I do think we'll see him sooner than later. And you know, even though he'll be pitching for Oakland, he might make himself fantasy relevant.
All right, so again, two names there to pay attention to in deeper leagues. I would say AL only, probably go out and just add both of those names right now, Ken Waldachuk and JP Sears. But as the season goes along, if Waldachuk does get the call, maybe works his way into standard size formats as well. The other trade that went down here, Trey Mancini was traded to the Houston Astros. Still waiting for all the details on this trade. It looks like it's going to be a three-team deal where outfielder Jose Siri is going to wind up with the Tampa Bay Rays. Actually, Jeff Passan just tweeted out all of the details of the trade. So Houston gets Trey Mancini and right-handed pitcher Jaden Murray. Baltimore gets right-handed pitcher Seth Johnson and Chase McDermott. And Tampa Bay does indeed get outfielder Jose Siri. I think the biggest takeaway, Scott, here obviously is Trey Mancini this season.
Yeah.
He's been solid, 268 batting average, 10 homers, 751 OPS. But this is a great move in terms of park shift and obviously the lineup. So what do you think this does for Mancini?
You know, it couldn't be a better park shift really for him, because remember the Orioles created that huge, huge, I don't even know what to call it, this enormous left field. They pushed the fence way back and made it one of the hardest park for right-handed hitters to hit it out. Trey Mancini is a right-handed hitter who is especially prolific at pulling the ball in the air. So it was like the worst. The way they tweaked that ballpark was like the worst case scenario for Trey Mancini, and he has only 10 home runs on the year. His expected home runs, according to StatCast, if he had played all of his games in Houston, where, of course, they have the very short porch in left field, one of the easiest place for a right-handed hitter, places for a right-handed hitter to pull the ball over the fence. The expected home runs, if you'd played every game there, is 22 versus the 10 that he actually has.
Wow.
So I'm sure Houston targeted him specifically for that reason. And, you know, while he's not actually going to play every game in Houston, obviously he's got those road games to play too. I would say stock up for Trey Mancini, and, you know, he could emerge as a top 40 outfielder with the Astros.
We need outfield help, that's for sure. I was just looking at the first base ranks, and Trey Mancini, 68% rostered, could be available in some shallower leagues. How far do you think he moves up here, Scott? I'm just trying to eyeball it, like the Ryan Mountcastle area. Does that make sense for Trey Mancini? Maybe even ahead of him?
Yeah, that's a close call between those two. You know, I'm not the biggest Ryan Mountcastle fan. I think I might gamble on Mancini at this point, see how it goes in Houston. Okay. It may not go exactly how the numbers say, of course, but I think the Astros are banking on that.
All right, and just to put a bow on this conversation, Yuli Gurriel probably stands to lose the most value, right?
You know, I hadn't looked at that yet.
Mancini has played 13 games in the outfield this year, but he's a pretty bad outfielder.
Yeah, but they only have one great starting outfielder, right? Kyle Tucker, and then assuming Jordan Alvarez is at DH. Mm-hmm. Right now, it looks like they're playing Jake Myers and Chaz McCormick both in the outfield. So I would guess they would get bumped to the bench. One of them would get bumped to the bench before Yuli Gurriel does.
All right, fair enough. Let's see who's in the lineup today. It is obviously Gurriel still at first base. Chaz McCormick in left and Jake Myers in center.
I knew we were missing somebody. Michael Brantley is on the IL with a shoulder injury that doesn't sound significant.
He's been out a long time though. So
yeah. Yeah. We'll keep an eye on that, but he could create an issue where maybe Yuli Gurriel does lose at bats, but you know, Gurriel's pretty fringy, of course.
All right. Well, stock up quite a bit for Trey Mancini. We're going to wrap there. We'll see whatever else goes down before the deadline. If Juan Soto or any other big trades happen, of course, we'll hop back on here. But for Scott, I am Frank. Thank you all for listening and watching this emergency edition of Fantasy Baseball Today. And we'll be back again later on. Bye-bye.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua, and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk.
No.
You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter, and he said, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film, and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.